The Jason and Alexis podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sears Imported Autos, serving four generations of happy, returning customers.
Sears Imported Autos is just 10 minutes west of downtown on 394 in Minnetonka. More information at searsimports.com.
You know what drives me crazy?
Two-hour themed Zoom meetings with our boss.
A phone call from B. Arthur?
No, buying something pre-owned and having it break in like 2 days.
That's the worst!
It is, but you know what? If you're buying a pre-owned car, get it from Sears Imported Autos. And you won't have that problem, believe me.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. They have an amazing selection of certified pre-owned cars that are vetted. Not just checked, they are vetted.
Wow, that sounds very dramatic and serious.
Well, it is. Sears takes it very seriously, and they back it up with extensive warranty coverage, which equals peace of mind. You know you're buying a quality car, and you know you won't have to worry about something happening, and I love that.
But I don't want to leave the house.
Oh, I hear you. And a lot of people don't want to leave the house. That's why you can browse and even complete the whole car purchasing process online. Like, from your couch. You can do it all at searsimports.com. Again, searsimports.com. And you can also configure your dream car, and then they'll find it, and even if you want, bring it to your door.
How about financing? Because I assume I have to pay for the car?
Yes, Lex, you do. Sears has so many financing options, and their staff makes that part of it so easy and painless. I was amazed when I bought my car there recently, back in November. The financing portion, which I usually dread, took, and I timed this, 6 minutes, no joke. I laughed. I was like, what? It's one of the things I remember most from that glorious day, and it's one of the many reasons why Sears Imported Autos won best of the best from Mercedes in 2018 and 2019. And they've been serving four generations of returning happy customers for over 55 years. That is remarkable.
Sears Imported Autos, 10 minutes from downtown Minneapolis on 394.
For more information or to see their huge inventory, just go to searsimports.com.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Thank you, Darth. I'm glad you like our show. Jason and Alexis in the morning on this Star Wars day. May the 4th be with you.
Yes, and also with you.
That's right. I'm Jace with Lex, Dawn, Kenny, Jabba the Hutt's here. That's right. Chewbacca's here. R2-D2 is here. He's upset about something. And you're here. It is Tuesday, May 4th, 2021. We have Alicia and Deb standing by because they want to know, hey, how crappy is my day going to be? And there's only one person that can answer that, and that's Alexis.
Can I read your stick?
Time once again for Jason and Alexis, well, mostly Alexis, to read your stick.
Can I read your stick?
You can read it if you like.
And she would like to, everyone.
I got the magic sticks.
She has a box of fortune sticks, and one of those sticks belongs to you and your day. Stick assistant Dawn, please identify our first stick person.
Our first stick person is Alicia.
Good morning.
Hi,
good
Alicia. Morning.
Good morning, Alicia. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great.
Right off the bat, I'll ask for our buddy Kenny. Do you have your credit card ready? Just we want to make sure you have that ready to go.
The reader?
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, Kenny, I don't get paid till Friday, so can you hold my check?
Kenny?
What time on Friday?
It's going to have to be before
10 a.m.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Alicia, would you like Alexis to concentrate on your personal or your professional life?
Well, I told Dawn on the phone I wanted personal, but can I switch it to professional?
Absolutely. You can do whatever
I know,
you
Kenny, you're going to charge me more, but I'm sorry.
She knows Kenny well. Wow, does she know Kenny well?
Yes.
Okay, Alicia, here we go. Woo-hoo. The sound in the background is the sound of Alexis shaking her box, and soon a stick is going to rise from that box, and that stick belongs to you. Just as the universe says.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away, Lex.
Ooh, all right. Alicia. Ooh. All right. Your stick is 19.
19.
Ooh, let's see what the ancient text says. All right. This is acting funky on me right now, but
19.
Here we go.
The number of the rows of teeth that the author has.
The amount of bunions on her hooves.
Oh
my word.
I thought you were going to say warts on her face.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
I'm saving that just in case we need to stall more. Yes.
Here we go. Okay. It's working good now. All right. Here we are. Here's what the ancient text says about Stick 19. A homebound fairy rolls and pitches in the swirling gorges. The wind and the waves surge and roll, but to what end? Stability and calm cannot be found.
Oh.
Wait till the angry waves rest in peace.
Homebound
Kenny, I'm not paying for this.
She's not going to pay for it now.
Kenny.
Yikes. She's
Not only is she not going to pay till tomorrow, but she's just not going to pay at all or
at
Friday.
All.
Yeah.
Give me something better.
Wow. I guess there's some swirling rapids that you're going to have to be dealing with. You're rolling right through, but just be patient. Wait for the right moment. Nothing can be done while the situation is precarious, but when the boat is borne through the rapids, time is favorable. Seize your chance and press ahead.
Okay, then.
Let's see.
Lisa doesn't like it. We've never had someone reject their fortune so much.
Hey, I tell you,
right.
I love it.
Hey.
I love it.
I can see why.
Well, and
unfortunately, you entered
I'm just the messenger.
You entered into a verbal agreement, and
Judge Judy says verbal agreements aren't enforceable.
You were perfectly willing.
Oh my
Judge Judy!
Slam!
You were perfectly willing to accept a random reading. A random reading is what we gave you. You got number 19.
Mm-hmm.
And the price for number 19, checking my records here, it just happens to be $190 for reading number 19.
That's right.
And we're going to have to see that before the close of business today.
Today.
Well, you entered a verbal agreement before we started that you would hold my check.
I did not agree.
We're at an impasse.
So, evidently, I'm going to have our lawyer contact you, and we'll find some kind of peaceful and amenable solution.
Alicia.
Change your number.
Hang up. Alicia, hang up now.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, sweetheart.
Uh-oh.
Bye.
Hard to hear, isn't it?
I do want to add, homebound fairy is what I called myself during the pandemic. That's right.
Yeah. It's kind of confusing. I'm like, a fairy is riding a boat?
Yeah, you're the homebound fairy.
Or I thought about like a fairy that flies, but is it like a boat fairy?
The boat fairy.
Oh, God.
Going home. Maybe she'll run into a lot of traffic on the way home.
Sure.
Boat fairy is what I call myself at the lake on the weekends. That's right.
I have a feeling that she is not a satisfied customer.
No, she is not.
Be back.
As we speak, she's listening to Fallon right now.
I doubt if Alicia is even her real name.
It's not.
Oh.
It's Connie. Yeah. Who do we have next, Stick Assistant Dawn?
Our next stick person is Deb.
Hi, Deb. How you doing, Deb?
I'm doing great, and I want a better reading than Alicia's.
Wow.
Our customers are getting very savvy now. Wow. They're getting very savvy. Deb, would you like Alexis to concentrate on your personal or professional life?
We are going to go with personal.
Personal. The sound you hear in the background is Alexis shaking her box.
I'm going to shake it real good for you, Deb.
In a matter...
Perfect.
Very, very soon, a stick's going to rise from that box, and the universe says, that is your stick.
Mm-hmm. All right. Deb! Woo! All righty. Let's see. What stick is this? It's 32.
The amount of children's tears B. Arthur has drank this morning.
Oh, God.
That's a lot of tears.
It's a lot of tears.
Okay, Deb, it says your journey is long and places unknown. Who can foretell the rock conceals a piece of jade? One day the craftsman's skills will bring it out. The priceless gem is yours, the joyful owner. Ooh, okay, this is good. You're going to crack that stone today and a piece of jade, beautiful, will be inside. It means success can be achieved through your efforts today. A priceless jade is embodied inside a rock. Such notion may be met with laughter. Ooh, so laugh today and you'll find this beautiful. You'll be joyful and you'll have a beautiful gem.
Well, that sounds perfect.
Yes.
That sounds perfect, too,
except
that noise.
When it comes to the price.
Yeah.
Cha-ching!
Oh, is it more than $190?
Here's the deal, Deb. The price, and I've never actually revealed this before, but the price is based on your attitude and how I get treated. And since that last caller, whatever her name was so mean that I like triple charged her. So your reading today is free because you are a very
positive
caller. Oh my God.
Yeah, you're just an awesome gal, and I like you a lot. And so we're covered.
Deb.
Okay. Well, the feeling is mutual, Kenny, so I totally appreciate it.
All right, Deb. Well, get ready for a great day.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
Bye, Deb. Bye.
Find that jade today.
Yeah, there concludes our readings for today.
She was a sweet lady. I really
liked that
Deb gal.
Now, the other one, though, I don't know about
not like
that.
Whatever her name was before. It was very mean.
I love the consumers on our show are getting very, very smart.
Yeah.
They're getting very demanding. I mean, coming up
sassy.
With their own rules. They're sassy.
Yeah. I'll have to admit, on off the air, Alicia was a little weird because I said, "Are you working from home?" And she said, "I am, but I get to go back to work soon." And I go, "Oh, you're excited about it?" And she goes, "Yeah, I really am." And I was like, "Okay. Yeah. Let me put you on hold."
I'm with Alicia on
that
one.
Her.
I'm with Alicia on this. Yes, I am. Yeah. I do. I am an outlier on this opinion too. I just said this to somebody. I know everyone right now, all the people that are smarter than I am in this category. I still think in 5 years, this whole, the workforce, these companies, and we're only going to bring 15% of people back. Malarkey. No, yeah. I think in 5 years, right now, productivity is high. They think it's high. And I'm not kidding, actually, on this one. I think in 5 years, no. There'll still be a hybrid. We're never going to go back to what it was.
No.
But I think there are going to be studies coming out. The collaboration aspect of being together, I think we're discounting that. I really do. I do. And I question it.
Yeah, I
think
it also depends on the scope of the work, too.
I do, too.
What kind of job you do. But yeah, I hear
there
you.
There is something, Jeff and I were just talking about this. There's something about face-to-face collaboration. I don't care what your business is that is lacking in Zoom calls. I'm sorry. I'm different in Zoom calls. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the same. I don't. And,
something to be said about leaving your house and just a delineation between.
Yep.
We're working now and I'm home.
Ding, ding goes the bell. 8:17 when we come back, Elizabeth Reese and the Dirt Alert.
Hey, ladies, want to go for a test drive?
I knew it, Dawn. Jason's buying us a car.
So, do you mind if I ask for one with a moonroof and heated cup holders?
Guys, I'm not going to buy you a car. We're going to test drive a new smile.
Rude.
No, goofball. Your smile is great. But look, if you don't like your smile for whatever reason, Dr. Amy at Hughes Dental can take you for a smile test drive.
How does that work?
Well, after someone does one of Dr. Amy's legendary virtual smile consults and they start to consider veneers, Dr. Amy can do a 30-minute appointment where she puts on a composite material that will show the patient what their actual new smile could look like.
That's some Star Wars stuff right there.
Well, that's why I call Dr. Amy, the Yoda of dentistry. Contact Dr. Amy and ask her about virtual smile consults and the smile test drive at Hughes-Dental.com. HughesDentist.com.
Oh, and don't forget, Dr. Amy can be your regular dentist, too. Again, that's Hughes-Dental.com.
And follow them on Instagram for the latest promotions.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Entertainment. It's all we do, and we do it well. Welcome back. Jason and Alexis in the morning. It's time to get caught up with the big pop culture and entertainment stories of the day in one little ketchup packet called the Dirt Alert. Hello, Elizabeth.
Well, good morning, you guys. Okay, hi. This is the biggest story of the day, which is that Bill and Melinda Gates have filed for divorce. You know, this came out late yesterday afternoon, and now there's lots of analysis happening in terms of their relationship. So Bill Gates, of course, one of the founders of Microsoft, he and Melinda Gates have been married for 27 years. They have three adult children together. And they met when she started working for Microsoft. And she kind of joked, you know, that it wasn't her plan to start dating the CEO, but that's what happened. And they ended up together. They have, of course, formed the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they've given away billions and billions of dollars. They have an endowment of like $50 billion. They're together worth about $140 billion.
Wow.
Wowzers.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh,
boy.
They have so much money. And so it's kind of interesting to figure out, you know, you hit a point where it's like, you get divorced and there's like a battle over the money. Then there's a level of like rich where people want the money. Then there's a level of super rich where you have so much that it doesn't even really matter.
Right.
That's like that's Bezos.
Yep. Yep.
You know, like when Jeff
stupid
Bezos
money.
And Mackenzie got divorced, it was just like, here, take half. I don't really care because I still have
so much
money still rolling in.
And there's so much money. Yeah. So their statement says, we no longer believe we can grow together as a couple. One of their children, Jennifer Gates, posted on Instagram that this is a challenging time. She said, I'm still learning how to best support my own process and emotions as well as family members at this time. And I'm grateful for the space to do so. And she said she's not going to comment further on anything around the separation, but know that your kind words and support mean the world to her. And they're kind of navigating the next phase of their lives. Listen, there's certainly adult divorces happen.
Yeah, empty nesters. So their youngest is 18.
Yeah.
Sure, they're looking at each other like, well, what now? And it appears as if they've been working on their relationship for some time now. And at some point, you get enough therapy to just say, we're done.
Yeah. They said, we no longer believe we can grow together as a couple in this next phase of our lives.
Yeah. I said it when we discussed this at 6, if people want to go back and listen to our podcast a little bit later. And it sounds like I'm being sarcastic or a joke, but marriage is hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, you know what I mean? It's just, and it's difficult. And sometimes it's just as simple as that. You know, you do just grow apart, whether it's precipitated by children or whatever. As Mariah Carey said, it's a rough road.
Yeah.
It can be, I should say. I really think if I was putting money on something, it's as easy as that. Not as easy, but I would think that's it.
Well, I think, you're in the like 0.0001% if you say like, we just have had a really easy marriage. Just being married is easy. You know, and I think roles shift and expectations shift. And maybe it was easier back when like, if you were in a heterosexual relationship, if traditional gender roles, if everybody was fine with those roles, you were maybe like, okay, this is how we go. But, you know, it's hard to navigate like the 50-50 split and all of that stuff. And you can build up a lot of resentment. I mean, I'm not speaking in my family. I'm speaking about other people.
Me too.
I mean, I don't ever feel like I'm doing more work than anyone else around here. I don't ever feel that way. And I never feel like my list is a mile long. And other people's isn't quite as long. Yes, I know. This is, what do I say, guys? The idea of like, let's have a baby to save the marriage. Like, hey, this will make things better.
No.
Newsflash. Makes things harder.
Yes.
Keep piling them on. It just does. Okay, yeah. Billie Eilish is on the cover of Vogue magazine, and we are seeing a side of her that we have not seen before. You know, Billie Eilish is famous for wearing these like oversized frocks, and she's done that really intentionally because she doesn't want her body to be out there for everybody to consume. She wants it to be more about her music. Well, now she's 19, and she is modeling some much more form-fitting outfit. She looks fantastic. I mean,
she's in lingerie. Glam.
She's in lingerie. Yeah, it's a pinup inspired shoot. It is like something you have not seen of Billie Eilish before. But she said, I love these pictures and I loved doing this shoot. Do whatever you want, whenever you want. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like a good 19-year-old way to look. Do whatever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah, that's, hey, you're allowed to at that age.
Gosh, she had such a strong stance on do not market me as a sexual being, though. And so it's a little confusing to me. I'm not telling her, like, don't do it or you're going back on what you said or anything. I'm just, like, a little confused because I know she's 19 now, but does that switch flip whenever you turn 18?
The second
she's
you turn 18.
Okay, now I'm ready to be a sexual object.
Yeah.
It's just a little like, okay.
I think maybe her point of it was she would want that and she was okay with that as long as it was on her terms.
Her terms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So maybe that's part of it.
All right.
But I don't know.
I hear Dawn's point, though. Yeah.
I hear it, too. Oh my God,
they're beautiful pictures, though.
They really are.
That lingerie is gorgeous and just that old, glam, beautiful. Mm-hmm.
I think she sort of got like a Gaga corner kind of performance artist thing going on where, like, remember when Gaga would wear like the meat dress and like all this crazy stuff? And then when you saw her in like a super sleek, elegant, like Audrey Hepburn inspired black gown, you were like, that was shocking, right? Because it was so opposite of what she's
been doing.
It's not
meat dress.
It's
not salami and prosciutto.
Madonna, there you go.
Perishable.
Gosh, I love some prosciutto.
Oh, yeah.
Boy.
Some prosciutto.
Meat it is. Twin Cities Live today at 3 with Elizabeth Reese. We'll be back.
Just more. And now, a moment with Johnny Carson.
And so it has come to this. I am one of the lucky people in the world. I found something I always wanted to do, and I have enjoyed every single minute of it. I want to thank the gentleman who shared this stage with me for 30 years, Mr. Ed McMahon.
Mr. Doc Severinsen.
You people watching, I can only tell you that it has been an honor and a privilege to come into your homes all these years and entertain you. And I hope when I find something that I want to do and I think you will like and come back that you'll be as gracious inviting me into your home as you have been. I bid you a very heartfelt good night.
This has been A Moment with Johnny Carson.
It is by no accident that we came back with that clip from Johnny Carson, May 22nd, 1992. After a 30-year run on NBC's The Tonight Show, Johnny signed off and basically, for all purposes, never came back to television again. When he said that he would find something in television, and he would hope that you would join him. He really never did and decided just to let his work on The Tonight Show speak for himself. Welcome back. Jason and Alexis in the Morning. I played that because there's a new limited series, new docuseries on CNN that looks at the history of late night. It's called The Story of Late Night by the same team that did CNN's Fantastic Decades docuseries, the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. This one obviously looks at the beginning of the late night genre in the 50s all the way to present day. And this first episode was really about the birth of late night. Lex, I see on the sheet you watched the first episode as well.
I watched the first one and the third one. For some reason, the second one wasn't available, but the first one was fascinating. And just the how it all started. I didn't realize, I probably have a lot more takeaways than you do, Jace, because you're more well-versed in the late-night universe.
Yeah, I've
Kenny
read
and Dawn, too,
yeah.
probably. But for me, there were a lot of like, whoa, I didn't know that Johnny Carson started in radio first.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of late-night hosts where that's where they started. Jimmy Kimmel's one another example, but I thought that was pretty fascinating. The other thing that I hope that there's a movie or a whole separate special about Faye Emerson, the first lady of late night television, and probably some of the struggles that happened throughout her career and finding her way and in many ways being pushed aside.
Well, and Faye, you know, has the distinction. It's not a man. I mean, look, most trivia games won't recognize her. But the truth of the matter is, Faye brought talk to late night first. It wasn't a dude. It was Faye. Yep. And when the networks found out that they could make money off of late night television from selling soaps and detergents and stuff, they thought, oh, well, we can't have women in late night. Let's put them in the daytime so they can talk to the women watching that are at home cooking and all that stuff, that perception. So, and then women, as one of the commenters said, never really returned to late night.
Well, and just also, too, how it started, where it's just like they had the news and then you'd see the squiggly lines and they were just off. So really, late night just started, anything would have done anything. And so the fact that it's been that successful, it's just amazing. And that she was one of the pioneers doing it, and that her wearing pants was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. And this was like in 1950 or
50-ish. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Reading her fan mail, and that was the big thing. So why is she wearing pants?
Yeah. So wow. They touched on Faye, and again, because this is the birth of late night. And as Alexis said, you know, one of the things people forget is, especially youngins, I think the four of us all kind of remember it, because signing off still happened in the 70s and 80s, but networks would just play the national anthem and with these montages of flags in American cities, and then bada boom, bada bing, networks would be off, and they would sign back on in the morning. And the late night shows really were just a money expedition. They're like, well, wait a minute. If we extended programming for another hour,
keep people awake,
we can just make more money. And they didn't really care what was on. That's why it's always been an experiment ground, because networks are like, well, I mean, what do we have to lose? You can't go anywhere but up. So let's put, I mean, you could put elephants on there and or a guy painting a room, just have him paint a different color every day and people will watch. So that was fascinating. And what I loved, and I knew a little bit about it, about him and obviously The Tonight Show, but the whole history of The Tonight Show, and specifically Steve Allen, was I could have watched a whole thing, and I have, on Steve Allen. How really, you know, we always joke, my executive producer, who is just right here, he always says there are no new ideas in television. And Steve Allen, it's because of Steve Allen. Yeah. Steve Allen did all the ideas.
He did the desk, the monologue, the whole thing.
Everything. Jaywalking. You can trace most of the bits that you see on any type of show. No joke, you can probably trace back to Steve Allen, who hosted The Tonight Show first, and it was ad-libbed. I mean, Steve, they made a joke of it, that there really was no rundown. And Steve did whatever, you know, all these bits of like Letterman Letterman dunking himself into water with Alka-Seltzers. You know, people in the 80s, comedians thought Letterman was being irreverent and ushering in a new era of comedy. Yeah. No. Mm-mm. I mean, he did for late night.
Jell-O.
Steve Allen dunked himself in with tea bags into water. Mm-hmm. And as Alexis said, so you really realize, you know, what a transformative figure Steve Allen was.
And how experimental it was, too.
Very much so. Man on the street stuff. Yeah. Jaywalking from Jay Leno. Please, Steve Allen did it in the 50s and 60s. Just without Annette, going into the audience and talking to random people in the studio audience. Steve Allen did that. All of that stuff started with him. And I loved, you know, just the birth of The Tonight Show, how it was, you know, NBC had Today. They had the Today Show, and then they're like, well, if we're going to book in the programming day, let's not think too hard about this. We have a show called Today. So let's have a show called Tonight.
Tonight. It's very creative.
I loved, and like the memos that went around. Okay, yeah. Well, let's call it Tonight. And, you know, and they got into Jack Parr. Kenny, I know, you know about Jack Parr. He made history because he walked off The Tonight Show, famously.
Wow.
You know, did you love that, Lex? That was a fun nugget.
Yeah, and also that he was kind of a volatile person. He kind of had the real highs and lows of feelings where I think people loved and hated him for that because he was very vulnerable. He'd tell personal stories on stage. And so you felt like, wow, he's just like me. But then I'm sure behind the scenes there were some, well, and they did share some, but even more of just him not very happy. And that must have been a hard place to work at that time when he's in a bad mood.
Kenny, do you know anything about Parr?
Not much at all. This adage that nothing is new because of Steve Allen, and I always keep going back to Letterman, the Velcro wall, throwing crap off a tall building, the man under the seats.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't all those new? Weren't
no.
all those new?
Yeah, the Velcro.
Larry Bud Melman. Wasn't that new?
Okay, great. Such a God, I love you. Great question. What Dave did, all of the other stuff, the going out on the street and doing, you know, all of that stuff was Steve Allen. Dave did and changed everybody. Dave took ordinary people and made them part of the show. He had the so-called cast of characters. You know, like Johnny would occasionally talk to Fred Cordova. Yeah. And would talk to but the Gelmans of the world wouldn't be around if it wasn't for Letterman. I mean, Letterman made Biff the stage manager a star. And, Rupert down Hello Deli.
Yes.
That Letterman pulled the curtain back. And Larry Bud Melman, he made stars out of people that would be dismissed by the more refined shows like Carson. Right. You know, Carson would never do that. That is what Dave did. And brilliant.
He elevated, going out into the audience. And
Wow.
But it's really
I remember as a kid staying up late to watch Letterman and just being fascinated with the dumbest things about that show, like throwing crap off a tall building. Absolutely the dumbest segment in the whole wide world, and I never missed it once. I loved it. It was so cool.
And you realize, you see the sequence. You can draw a direct line from Steve Allen to David Letterman in a way. Even more than Carson. I mean, anyway, we could go on and on, and we probably will, because Lex, I didn't watch the third episode. I didn't know it was available, so now I'm going to leave right now. I'm not even going to do my talk
and
show.
And she needs to watch the second.
Yeah, where'd you find this? Where is it at?
CNN, Kenny. CNN.
On demand.
CNN on demand, Kenny and Dawn and my talkers. Yeah, the story of late night. I'm going to leave now because I'm going to go watch episode 3. So, Dawn, can you do my talk show for me, please?
Sure.
Okay, Pat, fabulous.
Oh, Jeff has planned everything, right?
Everything's planned, so you're fine. You're in good hands. Yeah.
All right.
I would ask Alexis, but, you know, and Kenny, but they're, Lex has the baby.
I'm closest.
Kenny. Yeah, you're closest.
Yeah, just do a viewing party. Just watch it.
Perfect.
I'm sure Fox would love watching CNN programming.
Love it, yes. When we come back, we have a Jump the Shark next. They say we're too young and. Every day we pick something that has jumped the shark, person, place, or thing. We're done. Just done. Today is a good one.
Fire up the boat. I'm jumping the shark.
It's not as good as it used to be.
Things have gotten worse, not better.
What happened to you?
Jumped the shark.
It was Dumpamundo.
Uh-oh.
Today's Jump the Shark is the chicken shortage in our country.
Oh.
Is it the company or is the people eating too much chicken?
I don't know what's so funny, clown. Laugh, clown, laugh at my pain. I don't know why you're laughing at my pain. Lex, you know what chicken wings mean to me, and I'm really scared. Look,
it's easier to laugh.
Thank you, Lex. You're right. I didn't care about the toilet paper shortage. I could use leaves. I didn't care about the sanitizer wipes. I can wash my hands. This is messed up. I need my wings, and I need a strategy to get us out of this. Now, I did read yesterday, so it is a couple things. First, the pandemic, obviously. Then some storms, some weather activity disrupted and destroyed some chicken farms, major chicken farms.
Oh.
And I'll go back to the pandemic again, an increase in demand, not only because of the pandemic, and then you mix in the Super Bowl and the Final Four, and it's yep. kind of choking the...
chicken?
Careful.
It's the supply chain, you pervert. The supply chain. Choking the
chicken. I've heard that before.
Is choking the chicken sexual?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, God, Kenny. Kenny, thank you. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. I can't unsee that.
I'm so. This is my favorite part of the show today.
I thought it was joking something else.
No. So the supply chain. Okay. The supply chain is messed up. Now. I can't. Is the show over yet? What time is?
Who's the clown now?
Where's
Don't
Donna?
Make any rooster jokes.
Can we just? It's Don. Don, look in the other room. Is Don in there? Can she just start? Can she just start her show early?
She gets in here like 30 seconds before scrambling, going, "Where's my phone? Where's my glasses?" I mean, if you think she's in here at 8:52, girl, okay. She's got 8 minutes left.
Okay, but the supply chain is messed up. I'll say it like that.
Oh, have you been to the store and there's no chicken there, or?
No, I'm just, look, and my buddy Amelia Santinello Vassalero told me last night that the reports are that it'll normalize soon. So it's not going to be like a years long shortage, but restaurants, all kidding aside, they are paying for more chickens. They're paying more for chickens.
We have Donna, if you guys want to talk to Donna.
Yeah, go
actually,
ahead.
Donna is in here. She goes, were you calling for me? Because she's so attentive.
Is Donna here?
Hey.
Donna, we're off the rails. Can you just start your show?
How are your chickens doing?
Oh, my gosh.
You want me to start our show early?
Yeah, can you just start? Yeah. I mean,
guys, I overslept by an hour today.
Oh, my God. See,
I'm like slipping out right now.
Dawn predicted this. Dawn, because I said, is Donna in here? And Dawn's like, girl, please. She has 8 minutes. She'll be in here at like 8. She'll be in here at 8:59:47.
Yep, pretty much.
We had a question about a chicken shortage that was going on. And
is going on. Present tense, Dawn. It is happening. Yeah.
And Jason was trying to say something about choking the, and he didn't say supply chain yet, and then I said chicken, and then Alexis didn't know what we were talking about, so Kenny explained to her in mime.
Yes, like Colleen and Bradley call that polishing the silverware.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
But, it's also called feeding the geese.
Yeah. It's also called, opening it up so they step right in it.
But, or stirring up a batch.
But Donna.
Oh, Kenny!
Never.
Are you ready for the show? Do you need to go, Donna?
I'm fine. I'm going to wing it.
Just let Steve. Let's there just you go. Have Steve.
Steve will just talk. Just wind him up and he'll go.
Yeah. Pull a string, Donna, and let him go like a shirtless CNC. Just, you know what I mean? No.
That's so funny and true.
And what's horrible now is, but yet delightful with these B. Arthur spy cameras, Alexis, we can see each other. So Lex got to see Kenny miming what it meant. Yeah. So,
we usually save that for off the air. You know, Dawn and I look at each other and make gestures.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Not us.
These B. Arthur spy cameras provide endless amounts of entertainment.
How much do we hate love her for that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
We hate her. We hate her more than we can.
Well,
ever.
It's just more seeing everybody, you know?
Well, that's nice. The camaraderie.
Yes.
I do like seeing Lex and Chicken and Dawn, but I you know.
Chicken! Let's give him the name for like Chicken Patty.
He's my chicken.
Chicken cutlet.
No, I prefer Chicken Strip. He's my Chicken Strip.
I'm out of here. I'm
bye, Kenny.
Bye.
Time to joke something.
Go out there and be yourself. Nobody can tell you.
The chicken supply.
You're doing it wrong, right, Lex?
Yeah, you be you, everyone. Have a great day. We love you so much.
The show's over, right, everybody?
Yeah, thank goodness. Bye.